All that's worth saying is question time review. Question time. The 14th of October, 2021. The panel: Penny Mordaunt, Conservative; Alison McGovern, Labour; Samuel Kasuwu, former number 10 advisor; Anne McElvoy, journalist; Robert Winston, scientist. The venue: Nottingham. Lorraine wanted politicians to say sorry regarding the conclusions of a recent parliamentary report into the pandemic. Lord Winston, Labour, regretted the blame placed upon scientists by politicians. It's difficult to admit that so many people have died and are still dying, he noted. This was a totally different kind of virus that affects every organ in the body. Jeremy Hunt had been wrong to say it was like SARS. No countries have done well, but we made catastrophic mistakes. He blamed ex-Health Secretary Jeremy Hunt, whose report it was. Penny Mordaunt, Conservative, wouldn't say sorry beyond being sorry that people had died. She welcomed the report and expressed regret that, as a country, we had experienced loss. Sorrow and humility were required by the audience. Lessons had to be learned and a public inquiry should be called. Ominously, the audience suspected there might be another lockdown this winter. Samuel Kasuwu, former number 10 advisor, did say that he was sorry, even though he hadn't done anything wrong. He pinned his needless apology upon a sin of omission. He thought more females should have been involved in the decision-making processes and felt it should also have included local government. He blamed the media for misinformation. Anything in particular, snarled Bruce? No, he couldn't report any in particular. In the Gopher Company in question time, the BBC informs us tinged one-time number 10 advisor Samuel Kasuwu, who spent part of his childhood in Nigeria, is now a headhunter. Not sure where to go with that one. Despite leaving his Downing Street employment in a sulk after discovering via the Commission on Race and Ethnic Disparities Britain isn't racist, Mr. Kasuwu remains a Conservative councillor and was re-elected to his multicultural ward in Hertfordshire's Hatfield Villages in May. Although his Conservative Home Secretary, Priti Patel, continues to welcome cross-channel illegal immigrants, plus thousands more from Afghanistan, Samuel is a NIMBY who refuses to allow houses to be built for local people suffering from the immigration-fuelled housing crisis. During the council election campaign, he boasted of stopping Hatfield's proposed Lemsford housing development. We're going to introduce a coefficient of hair to face by age. Lord Winston has an 8-year-old face and 4-year-old hair, which gives him a QT coefficient of minus 40. Samuel Kasuwu has no hair, which, rather than disqualify him, makes him the control, with a coefficient of 0. Alison McGovern, also Labour, wanted to make the country better and more accountable. Alison McGovern is the Labour MP for Woodall South. Grammar school girl Comrade Alison studied philosophy at University College London, after which she became a communications type for various quangos plus Network Rail. She was elected to Parliament in 2010 with a majority of only 531. Her husband is another pointless policy type, former civil servant Ashwin Kumar, once a senior economic advisor to the office of Gordon and Sarah Brown. At this point, our new QT coefficient suffered an empty shelf moment. A gentleman in the audience didn't have any hair either, but had painted the top of his head black. Steward's inquiry. A major failure of the British state, said Anne McElvoy, journalist. Her own Economist magazine has published an excess mortality table, which shows us twice as worse as Germany. An attempt at herd immunity and sluggishness at locking down in order to save the economy had caused harm. Wadham College, Oxford graduate Anne is a journalist and BBC regular who has been a presenter on BBC's 2, 3 and 4. A must at every party, her mighty work, The Saddled Cow, East Germany's Life and Legacy, is the 1,769,058th most popular book on Amazon. A disappointing 1,693,175 places behind the Marquis de Sade's 120 Days of Sodom. During an interview for The Economist, Miss Ecclevoy was mauled by Jordan Peterson, who drew on a sheet of paper while the great scribe fought in frustration with her copious notes. Concerned with the individual rather than the identity pigeonhole, educator and clinical psychologist Mr. Peterson's self-help and personal responsibility philosophy bigly triggered Miss McElvoy and her group think woke politics claptrap. Is it acceptable the Northern Ireland Protocol was fudged to get Brexit over the line? Asked Daniel, determined to frame our recent victory over the EU as some kind of a defeat. Yes, said Anne. That's what got Brexit done. It was a Game of Thrones tug of war, where both sides knew the original border agreement was unworkable. We were now in the final stages, as the EU is much more flexible after Michel Barnier has gone. The original agreement had been a 2016 problem. A long, hard road is coming to an end. Penny was optimistic and took issue with the suggestion this had not been done in good faith. Bruce quoted the enemy, Anglophobic EU quisling Leo Varadkar, the deputy PM of Ireland, who enjoyed 25% of the vote at the last election. Like most QT panellists, Miss Mordaunt has never had a proper job. After graduating in philosophy at the University of Reading, she became a communications waller at the likes of Diabetes UK, Kensington Chelsea Council, the Big Lottery Fund, and was head of broadcasting for the Conservative Party. In her maiden speech, focused on defence, Penny referenced Sir Roger Kay's contribution to the 1940 Norway debate, when he addressed the House in full military dress, resplendent with six rows of medals. Miss Mordaunt assured the Speaker her uniform remained modestly hanging in her wardrobe. Is she some kind of a Walt? No. Commander Mordaunt is a Royal Navy reservist, although her rank is honorary, having been awarded by the Queen when Penny was Minister of Defence for 85 days in 2019. Also during her first address to the Commons, Commander Mordaunt said she was named after HMS Penelope, an Arethusa-class cruiser. Perhaps hinting at her own political dexterity, the Flesh and Blood Penelope claimed the vessel to be the first cruiser able to complete an about turn within its own length. On this matter, the MP for Portsmouth North ventures into choppier waters. Born in 1973, QT Review suspects her more likely namesake to be the Leander-class frigate HMS Penelope, which was commissioned into the Navy in August 1962. A bit like the Tory party, Penelope was sold to foreigners, the Ecuadorian Navy, in 1991. As Presidente Eloy Alfaro, the Ecuadorian Navy, has the bad habit of using the same name on successive ships while replacing second-hand Royal Navy vessels with second-hand Chilean warships constructed in Britain. Suffice it to say, if, since 2008, you've seen Penelope in the guise of El Presidente, you haven't. It will have been ex-Admiral Anticondel, confusingly a sister ship of Penelope, once of the Armada de Chile. All three of the aforementioned Leanders had relatively vanilla existences, Penelope latterly as razor blades. Bits of a fellow member of the class, HMS Dido, powered a rubber plantation in the Philippine Islands. Samuel noted it was the Remainers who had done everything they could to frustrate the will of the people. The EU's concessions were a step in the right direction. Boris got Brexit done, and now he was close to getting the Northern Ireland Protocol done. Robert Wrongley says you can't negate a contract. Yes, you can. It's called a get-out clause, in this case, Clause 16. He mentioned Afghanistan. Deciding the treachery of the Taliban and the Afghan National Army shows, somehow, that we are the ones that can't be trusted. Question 3. Balancing free speech and a safe space for diversity on university campuses. Grace was going to university next year and wanted a safe space. Stay at home and hide under the bed, dear. This referred to the trans agenda's bullying of academics. Alison hid too and refused to say whether the academic in question, Kathleen Stock, should stay or go from Sussex University. Robert wanted to talk as a biologist. Oh dear. Trigger warning. Categorically, you cannot change your sex. It is in every cell of your body. Robert was expecting hate mail. Your Lordship, it's not about science. It's about rubbing nice people's noses in muck through lefty social constructs. One wonders how much excess mortality can be attributed to Lord Robert Morris Lipson Winston F. Med Ski FRSA FRCP FRCOG FR Eng. The charge sheet includes his career in gynecology and obstetrics, reducing multiple pregnancies induced by himself, experimenting on the unborn, and concluding those with conditions such as Down syndrome and cleft palate have lives not worth living. His Labour Lordship first became active in politics in 1985 in order to oppose Enoch Powell's Unborn Children Protection Bill. At the start of the bill's second reading, Powell stated its simple and single purpose to be the prevention of human life from being created for any reason other than to be born of a woman. Therefore, human experimentation on the unborn child would be made unlawful, a protection Lord Winston and his like successfully opposed. As a believer, Winston is an Orthodox Jew and the grandson of a rabbi. How does he justify the suffering he imposes upon the innocent? Bizarrely, for a man of science, in an interview with the Jewish Forward, Robert quotes from the millennia and a half old religious scriptures of the Talmud. "I argued we Jews did not regard the embryo as a child," he said. "The Talmud describes an embryo as mere water. Here, Jewish tradition and Christian tradition divide. We do not engage in mourning for aborted fetuses." Winston seems unaware that, whether spontaneously as a sadness of nature, or deliberately at the hands of the physician, countless others are devastated by such terrible loss. There are other reasons to dislike Lord Winston. Being an abortionist merely tops the list. On the 14th of December 2017 edition of Question Time came from Barnsley. Lord Winston was on the panel. 18 months after we'd voted to leave the EU, Winston caused horribly unnecessary worry by lying that cancer treatment would be stopped if we persisted in leaving the European Union. Robert is a member of men-only clubs, which exclude women from membership, such as London lovey favourite the Garrick. What a misogynist. His Lordship remained a member of the Labour Party during the putrid anti-Semitic leadership of Jeremy Corbyn, while co-religionists either left in droves or attended Labour events accompanied by bodyguards. Comrade Robert was privately educated at £13,000 a year Sleacombe Preparatory School and £40,000 a year St Paul's. On a lighter note, my anonymous spy, fellow panellist Isabel Oakeshott, tells me his Lordship took a taxi all the way from Barnsley to London, immediately after that QT, as though allergic to public transport, Premier Lodges and South Yorkshire air. Think of the CO2. Penny thought Caroline should be allowed to say such things. There were conversations to be had, both about science and law. Somebody said LGBT+. Call the police. Throw her out. It's SDLGBTQIA++, you bigot. Alison disagreed with biology. Trans men are men and trans women are women, she stated, while ricking it up the human genome. You can disagree with someone without making them feel unsafe, noted Samuel sensibly.